microphone, and the dancing has stopped, so we're good to go. If only you could see what I see, all right? That's the truth. If only you could see what I see. Being a man after God's own heart is simply setting our heart to do His will. As we've looked at it over the last couple of weeks together, months together, we've seen a couple of different things. That David had a hungry heart. He wanted to know God, to know His word, to know His will, to know His way above all. That David had a settled heart, understanding that God's approval and that God's assistance and that God's acclaim was enough. And he didn't need anything else. We saw David had a servant's heart, a humble heart. Last week we looked and we saw that David had a confident heart. Confident that God could handle his problems and that God could fulfill all the promises that he had given. And I tell you what, as I look at this man, David, my prayer is, Lord, give me a heart like this. Give me a heart that's hungry for you. Give me a heart that's settled in you. Give me a heart that's confident in you. Lord, make me this man. Today I want to see how what was going on the inside of David affected what David was doing as he interacted with others. Because you see, everything that we have talked about to this point, the hungry, the settled, the humble, the servants, the confident, everything that we have talked about to this point, it really begins and ends with you and God. But life doesn't begin and end with you. It's not just all about you. Because God's heart is not just to work in you, but through you as well. So tonight, I want to take a look at a couple of snapshots in David's life. And I want us to draw some applications, if we could, and see how a man after God's own heart will share God's heart of compassion for others. Say it one more time for you and I to see how a man who is after God's own heart will come to share God's heart of compassion for others. The first place I want us to go tonight is 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22, you can turn there in your Bibles if you would. It'll be on the screen for those of you who want to look on the screen. And I want to look at the first two verses of this chapter. The Bible says, "And David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." Verse number 2 is where I'm going to key in. "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." I want us to consider tonight a compassionate heart in regard to those who are, we'll call them those who are pressed into our story. Those who are pressed into our story. You see, when we look at 1 Samuel 22, you'll remember from the last time we looked at the life of David, that David's life is falling apart. And as David's life is falling apart, and David finds himself hiding in a cave from King Saul, that David is now joined by others whose lives are falling apart. David did not choose these men. They did not have an army draft and David say, "I want you and you and you, not you, not you, certainly not you, but you. You can come with me." David did not choose these people. These people showed up at his cave and said, "Knock, knock, knock, let me in." In other words, they were thrust into David's life by circumstance. You look at these men who were thrust into David's life. These men who were pressed into David's story. These men were marked by problems. You look at the description of them. Verse number 2. They were distressed. They were indebted. They were discontented. The earmarks of their lives were their problems. They were marked by problems. In other words, it wasn't a generally successful person who occasionally had problems. No, the people who showed up at David's door, the people who were thrust or pressed into David's life, were people whose lives were marked by problems. Given a word to describe them, the Bible picked distressed, indebted, and discontented. And here's the thing about people. They bring their problems with them. You know, so often I'm having problems here, so I'm going to go over there. I am sorry. I am sorry to bust your bubble, but we as human beings tend to bring our problems with us. So people bring their problems. Hey, guess what else they bring? They bring their personalities. And if you find yourself distressed, indebted, and discontented, let me ask you, what flavor does your personality tend to take when that is the circumstances of your life? Are you generally cheerful and mild-mannered? Are you generally easy to work with? Oh, not me. I'm not. And they brought their personalities. They brought their problems. They brought their personalities. Hey, they brought their pursuers. You know, the fact that they were indebted means that they owed someone money. Have you ever owed somebody money? I owe the bank money for my house. They remind me every month. And I have a feeling that, try as I may, your creditors desire to find you and often do. And so David, while he's being pursued by King Saul, those that are in debt brought the people that were pursuing them. Those that were distressed brought the problems and people that were pursuing them. They brought their problems, they brought their personalities, they brought their pursuers, and they brought it all to David. But as you look at how David responds to those who were pressed into his story, David dealt with them in patience. You know, we often think, oh, this is David's mighty men. And they were in the future. And maybe we'll talk about it. They did some really cool stuff. Like the one guy who decided, you know what? I'm going to kill a lion in a pit in a time of snow. Like, that's just a cool dude. What'd you do today? I went down into a pit in a snowstorm and I killed a lion. What'd you do? Or the guy who decided, you know what? The enemy has no business here. And so he picked up his sword and he went to work. And he went to work in such a fervor that the Bible says his hand clave to the sword. You see him coming home from the battle. You can put down your sword now. I can't. I had to pry his fingers. I mean, that's a... Or you think about the three that broke through the enemy line just to get David a drink of water from the well at Bethlehem. They said, my captain's thirsty. Let's go. And three of them broke through the enemy's line to get David a drink of water from a well. Then David poured it out. But that's a totally another story for another time. These were not mighty men. These were messed up men. And yet David dealt with them in patience. You know, some of us may be tempted to think, well, at least David has someone. You know, after all, preacher, someone's better than no one. No, it's not. No, it's not. I can think of a thousand scenarios where no one is better than the wrong one. Over and over and over again. Oh, these were not mighty men. These were messed up men. These men were not soldiers. These guys were not ready to help David. They came to David looking for help. And David took those who were pressed into his story. And he dealt with them patiently, allowing God to develop their potential. Boy, we need to let that one sink in. That David dealt with them in compassion. In a time where David needed help, they showed up looking for help. And David didn't turn away. David didn't shut his door. David didn't run to the next cave. David didn't turn him over to the debtors. David didn't do any of that. David, in patience and compassion, he took them in and he allowed God to develop their potential. And when God developed their potential, they became mighty men. Mighty men of valor. Church, I'm reminded tonight as we think of being a man after God's own heart, being a woman, being a young person after God's own heart. Church, we can't always choose who's brought into our lives. We cannot always choose who's brought into our lives. We all, could we fairly say, no names please, but we all have people in our lives that we did not choose. At this point, I'm staring straight at Facebook, all right? We all have people in our lives that we did not choose. Maybe for you, it's a neighbor. Maybe for you, it's a boss, a coworker. Maybe for you, it's another church member, a family member, a friend. Maybe for you, it's the conductor of the train you're always stuck by. I jest. We all have people in our lives that we have not chosen. But here's where we take control. Because you and I can always choose how we pour into them. You know, they may have been pressed into our story by circumstances beyond our control, but you and I can always choose how we pour into them for the glory of God. It's not always easy to have compassion because people bring their problems. And it's not easy to have compassion because people bring their personalities. And the thing about problems and people is they never bring their problems at convenient times. But a man who's after God's own heart recognizes that people are more than problems. Because of Christ, in every person lies incredible potential. So what does a man after God's own heart desire to do? A man after God's own heart desires to love, desires to have compassion towards those, yes, even those who are pressed into their lives. We deal with them in love and patience, and we allow God to develop their potential. You know, church, it's simple. We love them because God loved us. When we were a mess, God loved us and had compassion on us. We help them because God helps us. We are patient with them because God is still patient with us. God has to be far more patient with this dude right here than this guy has to be with anyone else. It requires far more patience for God to put up with me than for me to put up with anybody. And that goes the same for you too. So we are patient with them because God is patient with us. We give them the truth in love. We are compassionate with them because God is compassionate with us. And church, here's the reality. Sometimes a messed up man shows up at our doorstep and we don't know it and we can't see it, but God is working out a mighty man one day for His glory. And He's giving us the opportunity to pour compassion, love, truth into the lives of the people around us. Yes, even the ones that are pressed into our story, especially the ones that we would not have chosen had we been given the choice. We see it in the way David responds to those who are pressed into our story. I ask you tonight, Christian, who is it in your life do you need to pour compassion into? Who in your life, just perhaps unsettles you a bit, but God has given you the opportunity to pour His love into? Oh, church, how we need to show compassion to those who are pressed into our story. That's hard to do. Sometimes we hope and pray that such seasons will end, that such people will move on in their life story so that ours will take the next chapter as well. But church, every person bears within them incredible potential because God loves them and died for them. Those pressed into our story. I want you to see one other snapshot, if we could, of David's interaction with people in his life. For this one, we're going to go to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 9. And in this portion of Scripture, we find David in a very different time of his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, David was hiding in a cave. And in 1 Samuel 22, David was a fugitive running from the law. And in 1 Samuel 22, David had nothing. And in 1 Samuel 22, David didn't really ask for the help that he received. But when we come to 2 Samuel 9, things are very different. In fact, by the time we come to 2 Samuel 9, things are good. David is king. There are great blessings all around. If your Bible gives little subheadings like mine does, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 8, you'll see the little subheading that's given is the full establishment of David's kingdom. That David's kingdom has been established in the land, and David is ruling and reigning in great blessing. And it's in this scenario that God lays it on David's heart to do something for a member of Jonathan's family. You'll remember Jonathan, the son of King Saul. Jonathan and David were fast friends. Their friendship is actually a remarkable thing to look at in Scripture. They had made promises between them. Jonathan had died in battle with his father. But David, here in 2 Samuel 9, is now burdened to see if any of Jonathan's family yet lives. If there would be anyone in Jonathan's lineage that he can show kindness to. Look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And David said, is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, compassion for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And we'll find this young man's name is Mephibosheth. And God lays it on David's heart to do something for Mephibosheth. He finds Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, and David's heart is burdened for him. And the interaction we're going to find teaches us some things about compassion. Compassion we saw first on those who are pressed into our story. Compassion now here in 2 Samuel 9 on those who are precious to our souls. Because you see, sometimes in life, it's not that God forces people on our lives. It's not that circumstances dictate that we've got to be around certain people and we've just got to deal with things. No, sometimes in our lives, the Lord lays people on our heart. Sometimes in our lives, the Lord gives us burdens for somebody. Somebody that we can show the love of God to, or as David put it, the kindness of God. So David's interaction here with Mephibosheth teaches us just a few things. We'll pick back up in verse number 5 if we could. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. I want you to notice something striking here, that compassion, a compassionate heart, is willing to take the initiative. You know, as David sought out someone from the lineage of Saul and he found that one existed, he didn't tell that servant, good, you take my number, have him call me if he needs anything. You know, that's the easy thing to do. If you need anything, please just let me know. That's kind of what we do when we want to do something and we just don't know what to do, right? If you need anything, just let me know. And I'm going to tell you, that's not a bad thing to do. But David didn't wait for Mephibosheth to seek him out. You know, the Bible says that David went and sent for him and brought him to himself. You see, David sought Mephibosheth out, not the other way around. And a heart of compassion does just that. It is willing to take the initiative. We're not waiting necessarily for people to come to us. We're not waiting necessarily for things to be published. No, as God lays people on our heart, we are willing to take the initiative and reach out and love. You know, sometimes in life we get hung up because we feel like people don't reach out to us. May I kindly say, who cares? Who cares? Well, people don't reach out to me. Well, nobody calls me. Nobody invites me over. You invite somebody else over. You call somebody else. You take the initiative. You see what matters, church? What matters is what God has laid on my heart. And if God has laid something on my heart, it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, what you have or haven't done, and what our relationship has been in the past. If God lays something on my heart, I ought to take the initiative and just do it. Compassion is willing to take the initiative. And simply put, church, sometimes God lays people on our hearts. How often have we seen this happen, especially in the last couple of years through this pandemic and seeing members of our church family become ill and great needs take place? It's been a beautiful thing to see. On some occasions, we have orchestrated things corporately to make sure needs get met. But by and large, church people just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're willing to take the initiative. And I, as the pastor, got to hear about all these things secondhand, that so-and-so was a blessing because of this, and so-and-so was a blessing because of this, and so-and-so brought a meal here, and so-and-so brought a meal there. And that's a beautiful thing. As God lays somebody on our heart, that we take the initiative. You see, when we come into a situation where we find those precious to our soul, that burden that God has given us, compassion is willing to take the initiative. But compassion is also willing to make the sacrifice. You look at what David does. David brings Mephibosheth to himself. Verse number 7, and David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness." That's compassion for Jonathan, thy father's sake, "and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." You see the sacrifice that David the king was making, restoring the land, offering this man a place at his table. And there's so much beautiful symbolism here about what God did for us. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to get into all of that tonight. But to see the kindness and compassion that David showed, the sacrifice that David was willing to make. And verse number 13, we see, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet." You know, David showed great kindness and compassion to Mephibosheth. Sacrificed greatly for him. Mephibosheth had nothing he could offer in return. And yet that didn't matter, because God had laid it on David's heart to do something. And church, compassion is willing to make the sacrifice. You know, so often we're tempted to get offended because we feel people don't pour into us. You know, I've seen it more on Facebook in the last 6 months than I've seen it in a long time, that notion that I don't have time for people that don't have time for me, or I'm no longer going to pour into someone's life who's not willing to pour into mine. Oh, yes, in the Hebrew, a good word is pitiful, yes. It's a great Hebrew word for it. Because church, who cares? If God has laid it on my heart, if God has made this precious to my soul, I don't measure what I give based on what you give. I don't measure how I love based on how you love. I don't measure my kindness based on how I perceive your kindness. I measure what I give. I base my sacrifice on His sacrifice for me. And if God is moving, that's all that matters. And church, tonight, for us, to continue. You know, some of us, we're right there. You know, we want to do this. We want to do this. We're right there. Some of us tonight just need to get over that hump to say, you know what? If God lays it on my heart, if God makes this person precious to my soul, if God moves in my life, you know what? I'm not going to need any other justification. I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to send the card. I'm going to send the text. I'm going to make the meal. I'm going to provide whatever. I'm going to do what God leads me to do. But I don't know if they need a meal. God wouldn't have laid it on your heart if they didn't need a meal. It really is that simple. I don't know what to say in a card. Sometimes it's just the fact that they got a card from you and they knew that you were thinking and praying for them. Church, if God lays it on our heart, then we just do it. I don't know if I can afford to. If God has laid it on your heart, you can't afford not to. Oh, for those who are precious to our souls, compassion, genuine compassion, is willing to take the initiative. Genuine compassion is willing to make the sacrifice. And if God is moving me, then that is all that matters. You see, being a man after God's own heart means that we share God's heart. And God's heart is for people. God's heart is for people. I remind you, one of the most beautiful pictures of this in all of Scripture is after the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he retreated there outside the city, and he looked over the city of Jerusalem, and he knew that they would reject him, and they knew that they would mock him, and he knew that they would choose Barabbas over him, and he knew that they would crucify him, and yet he looked on them and he wept. He wept and his heart was broken for them because he loved them. He had compassion for them. Oh, church, for those who are pressed into our lives. I didn't choose that boss. I didn't choose that teacher. I didn't choose that coworker. I didn't choose that neighbor. I didn't choose that kid. I didn't choose whatever. Those who are pressed into our lives. Do you know what the response of a man after God's own heart is? Compassion. Compassion. We give compassion and patience, and we allow God to develop their potential. For those who God makes precious to our hearts, lays on our hearts, it's compassion and care. God's heart is for people. Lamentation chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Listen to these words from Scripture. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his, what is it, church? His compassions fail not. Leave that there. We need to say that again. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his, we need to say it again. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Hear me, church, that we are not consumed. To be consumed by the wrath of God is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's of the Lord's mercies that you and I have breath tonight, that you and I have life tonight, that you and I are here tonight and know him. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And it's because why, church? It's because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, it says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Church, God's heart is for people. God's heart is to lift the fallen. Psalm 143 and verse 147 and verse number 3, he says, he healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 86 and verse 15 says this, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious and long-suffering and plenteous and mercy of truth. Notice that a God full of compassion. God's heart is to lift up the low. Psalm 145 and verse number 8 puts it this way, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. And if you and I are going to be a man after God's own heart, if God's a heart of compassion, then you and I have to have a heart of compassion as well. Amen. I think of how many times in the Scripture we see a verse like Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34, where the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them. Because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. How often in Scripture was Jesus moved with compassion toward the people around him? A compassionate heart. I leave us tonight with Jude 22. And if some have compassion, making a difference. To those who were pressed into your life, have compassion. Make a difference. To those who were precious to your soul, have compassion. Make a difference. You see, being a man, a woman, a young person after God's own heart, it means having a heart of compassion for others.